When someone says they're going up north, they're likely from Michigan and own property somewhere hours away from the city. My friend Sean is one of those lucky people. His cabin is beautiful. It sits on 80 acres of land, far away from the noise and chaos that the suburbs of our hometown contain. We're mostly there for the usual reasons one goes to a cabin. To escape. But for my friend Nathan, it was a bit more complicated. His wife had died. She hung herself from the second floor of his house, and needless to say, he didn't want to be there anymore. Myself, Sean, Nathan, and Lucas have all been friends since middle school. We've always taken care of one another, and Nate's pain was all of our pain, so we took him to Sean's place up north.
"Jesus, your aim's terrible," Luke told Nathan,
who was trying to steady a large rifle on a bench as he aimed down the property line at a paper plate nailed to a tree.
"Leave him alone. He never shot a gun before." "Yes, I have. It's not a big-ass rifle," Nate responded, almost dropping the gun as he turned to defend himself.
"You're doing fine, man. Just take your time," I told him. He took a deep breath and looked down the sight again, steadying the rifle in a hand before pulling the trigger.
"Hey, look at that hit," Lucas called out. "The tree, man, not the target. Sorry, Mr. Wick."
We all laughed at Nate as he set the gun carefully on the bench and stood up to grab a beer.
We all needed the escape from our lives, but more than anything, we wanted to be there for our friend. We always gave each other crap. That was our brotherhood at work. Whenever we caught him staring into the distance, we would hand him another beer, pat him on the back. We wanted him present as much as possible. The black hole that sat where his heart used to was pulling him in, devouring every happy thought and replacing it with pain. We sat around a bonfire, talking about the past and reminiscing about our childhood. Every girl in school thought Mr. Luther was hot. The facility even became worried about his ability to teach because of how much of a distraction he was. Lo and behold, 3/4 into the year, we find out not only that he was gay, but he was interested in Luke, I recalled, fighting back laughter.
"Yeah, my looks transcend age and sexuality, what can I say?" a drunk Luke said, wearing a grin as he finished his 7th beer.
Sean was looking up at the stars, admiring the glow that the city back home obscured. Once we noticed that he was doing that, the rest of us did as well. The galaxy was all around us. He was beautiful and intimidating, and made all our problems feel insignificant. "Let's go for a walk," Sean suggested.
"Out there?"
questioned Nate, pointing at the shadowy field lining a wall of trees, only partially illuminated by the moon and stars.
"Not that bad," Sean said. "I grew up out there. I know where everything is. Worst we could run into is a deer, and they're not going to approach a group like us."
"Yeah, I'm down," Luke said, toasting his empty beer.
Nate looked at me, and I shrugged. "It'd be fun, man. Why not?" I said.
"Oh, fine. You guys can walk up front. I'm not going to be the one to fall into a pond or something," Nate said, rising from his chair with a slight stumble.
You just follow me,"
Sean replied, picking up his phone and turning on the flashlight. The path was lined with tall grass and made up of uneven ground. We stumbled along drunk and mesmerized by the atmosphere. Sean's flashlight pierced through the darkness ahead of us, but somehow it made our surroundings even darker.
"It's a little spooky out here, isn't it?" Luke said.
"You're the toughest guy I know. You're not allowed to be afraid," I told him. Just then, a guttural barking sound emanated from deep in the woods. We all stopped dead in our tracks, a visceral fear penetrating us like a gunshot.
"Guys, chill. It's deer call," Sean said,
clearly afraid as well. I braced my chest, feeling my heart pounding through my shirt.
"That's what a deer call sounds like?"
I asked rhetorically. We shook it off and had begun to continue forward when Sean spoke to us again.
"Wait, where'd Nate go?"
The three of us turned as Sean panned his flashlight around, searching for a trace of our friend.
"There!"
Luke called, pointing out Nate's white t-shirt through the darkness. He was standing motionless while staring into the tree line.
"Nate!"
I called out. His lack of reaction sent a chill down my spine.
"His lips are moving," Sean whispered,
as if trying to listen. Luke shook his head in frustration.
"What the hell, man? Quit that!"
His lips stopped moving, and
He stumbled backwards onto the path.
"Nate!" I said.
He looked toward the ground, looking as if he'd been powered off before taking a few steps forward.
"What?"
he asked, sounding annoyed as he approached. Sean shined his flashlight in Nate's face, trying to get a good look at him.
"Quit it! You're blinding me!"
"What were you doing?" I asked, bewildered.
"What do you mean?" he responded, sounding confused. "Did you see something?"
Sean chimed in. Nate was quiet. He looked at the ground, then back at us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
"All right. Well, let's just head back," I said, feeling nervous.
You're right, let's go,"
Sean said in agreement.
"What? Hell no! You guys talked me into walking all the way out here. I'm not turning around now,"
Nate refused.
"Something weird is up. I can't pretend that didn't just happen," Sean rebutted. "Luke, help us out." "Hey, if he wants to keep going, then so do I. He seems fine now," Luke answered.
Sean and I exchanged a glance. I shrugged and gestured to move on forward. "Let's get this over with." As we made our way a good distance further, the path became laden with sticks and other small debris. Snap, crunch, snap, crunch, snap. The singing of crickets was almost deafening. "There's a man-made lake up ahead that my dad built with his brothers. It's pretty huge," Sean explained. I remembered hearing frogs in the distance, signifying our approach to the body of water. It was beautiful, even after the eerie encounter back along the path. The stars shining off the still glass-like water was an amazing sight to behold. We all stood quietly watching the universe as it peered at itself through the lens of our planet.
"Shay?"
Nate called abruptly. We all turned to see him staring into the woods again.
"Hey, what are you..."
Sean began, interrupting Nate.
"Shh!"
he hushed. He continued stepping closer to the tree line, intrigued by something within. He came to a stop and stood quietly again.
"Shayla!"
he yelled out. Luke made his way forward, stopping just a few yards from Nate.
"Hey, we're gonna go back to the cabin, eh? Come on, let's go," he said.
"It was her, I swear!"
Nate pleaded.
"Come on, it wasn't, buddy. Come on, let's get to bed."
Nathan turned to look back once more.
"All right,"
he said, taking Luke's hand as he pulled him from the thick grass. We were back along the path again. Luke and Sean at the lead as I walked side by side with Nate. He was wiping at his eyes, choking back his emotions. "Hey, I miss her too," I told him, walking with my hand on his shoulder. We had exited the noisy grass and made our way to the uneven dirt path again, yawning as the cabin came back into view. I noticed as Sean repeatedly aimed his phone flashlight towards the tree line, away from the dark path in front of us. "What's up?" I asked him.
"Nate!"
he yelled suddenly. We all turned and watched as Nate ran into the woods. Shocked, we raced in behind him, calling out his name in a panic. And soon after breaching the tree line, however, we were halted on our tracks. Nate stood in a small clearing now, only a few feet away from a vague figure in a dirty-looking dress.
"I'm sorry!" he cried. "Please, come home. I'll try harder. I'll make you happy."
"Nate," I said hesitantly. We were all still watching unflinchingly as he approached the woman.
"You see her now, don't you?"
he asked in hysteria. I struggled to make out her full form through the dark trees. Sean's light couldn't fully illuminate her from the distance we stood away. Her filthy dress swayed in the breeze that kicked up, but she remained still. Nate fell to his knees in front of her, still pleading for her to come home and guaranteeing her happiness. A scream emanated through the night like nails on a chalkboard. Nate had gone quiet now and was slowly levitating from the ground in front of the creature. Luke jerked into action, sprinting towards and ripping Nate away from the horror that manipulated his mind.
"Let's go!"
Sean yelled. We all booked it for the open field. Nate stumbled alongside Lucas before beginning to run on his own accord, seeming to have come to his senses.
"Get to the cabin!"
Sean continued calling. We cleared the tree line and we were on the path again. The screaming erupted in quick... She had lurched out and tackled Sean to the ground. I panicked, quickly coming to a stop as I watched the flashlight disappear from view.
"Sean!"
I called desperately. We struggled with locating him, only able to hear a slight rustling of grass. I carefully made my way towards the sound, hoping to see some form that I recognized in my attempt to help. I had only been a few feet away when a deafening scream made my senses go blurry. I awoke in my childhood bed. I rubbed my eyes and turned to face my bedroom door. There was a ruckus of arguing, followed by a few heavy thuds that shook the house. And my stomach turned. As I rose from my bed and cracked open the door, just outside a man was standing over a woman that I recognized. It was my mother, now being wrenched around the throat by my father, who was drunk and yelling. I felt helpless. My body was trembling as I watched him throw her across the kitchen again. "Stop!" I pleaded. But suddenly, I recognized the scene for what it was. I had been here already. I lived through my mother's abuse as a boy. This wasn't real. Not this time. My vision went blurry. Things went dark again. Stars slowly came back into view. I sat up and I watched as Luke now wrestled with the creature on the ground just ahead of me. "Help!" he beckoned me. Sean had only just become lucid after being attacked. He ran to Lucas's side and helped him pin the monster down. It struggled under their weight as I attempted to regain control of my motor senses. I was crawling towards them, finding my bearings as I made my way towards the scuffle just ahead of me. I made it. I had made it. I shuffled around my friends and found the creature's legs that were unsecured, holding them still with all my power. "Where's Nate?" Sean asked, trying desperately to catch his breath. We looked around as much as we were able to, but couldn't see. The creature began to fight back harder now. It writhed violently beneath us until its hand slipped free of Sean's grip, striking quickly at Luke, clawing him viciously and sending him into a fit of shock. It had the advantage now and threw us clear from its body. "Luke!" I yelled, making my way back to his side. He was bloody and unmoving as I shook him, looking for a response. Sean and I looked at the stars above as they began to obscure by the creature's new form. It no longer looked like a woman, but instead it was some large amalgamation of flesh. It towered well above us as it reared back with an intimidating posture. A loud noise emanated from behind us. It happened again after a brief pause. The once feminine-sounding scream was now otherworldly, echoing from the throats of a thousand voices. The form that threatened us had all at once vanished from view. Sean and I looked at one another in disbelief, only able to hear each other's breathing through the now silent night. We fought Luke onto our shoulders and slowly shuffled him back towards the cabin. "Nate!" I yelled as he came into view with his rifle in hand. He began, unable to put words together. "You saved us," Sean said plainly. Nate stood shaking, looking Lucas up and down. "We have to get him somewhere. He's the only one still in danger," I said, having trouble keeping my composure as well. His blood stained my car, but I couldn't have cared less. Despite my reckless driving, I managed to get him to the hospital. I had him rushed to the ER. We sat in a waiting room, silent, as we all contemplated what we experienced. Sean looked over at Nate, who was still very still, lost in thought. "You okay?" he asked. Nate looked towards Sean and me before responding.
"Yeah, I'm better. At least," he responded. We all nodded in agreement. "Sorry about Shayla," I said to him. "You know that you aren't alone, though, right? Ever." He nodded again, tearing up as he tried to speak. "I know." Sean and I walked over to his seat and gave him a reassuring hug. Lucas was released a few days later. He bandaged his wounds and took our story about what we saw. The NDR chalked it up to being a bear that we couldn't quite make out through the darkness. None of us were fazed by that. It's too hard to describe. It felt pointless to try and convince anyone else. We didn't fully understand what we experienced the night up north. It was terrifying, heartbreaking. It somehow brought us even closer together. Whatever was in those woods fed on our pain. It was a similar effect on all of us, and it seemed to prey on the weakest, most vulnerable at the time. "Luke thinks it's from space," Sean says. "It's a demon of some sort, and I personally don't care."
I don't care what it was. What matters to me is that together, we survived.